Grace, mercy, and peace to you from God our Father and from our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. Amen. My brothers and sisters in Christ who know who your Savior is and what he has done for you, has told to you in God's mighty and wonderful word. There's a saying that declares that seeing is believing. And I tend to find that it is true. Before I'm going to fully understand something, whether it's with literal seeing or figurative seeing, I need to be able to picture it in my mind before I believe it as fact. And yet, as I'm willing to guess is the case with you, sometimes you see things that are simply hard to believe. There were two times in my life when I remember that especially. One when I was a kid, I was still living at home, and my dad was on TDY, was on a military business trip over to San Diego. While he was doing classes or something, my brother, my mom, and I, we went and toured an aircraft carrier, the USS Kitty Hawk. And I will never forget just how big and wide and tall that ship was. We went inside, and I got lost. Thankfully, there was a tour guide to show us how to get around. But you would never guess that you were surrounded by water with the feet of metal above, below, and to the side of you. As we got out and went back to our car, I wanted to capture that moment to see just how big it was. So I got out my disposable camera, and I used three of my precious 30 shots to take a picture of it from one end to the other. Got them developed and put them on the table as a panorama of sorts. And even looking at those pictures, I found it hard to believe just how big that ship was. The second time was just a few years ago. A seminary choir was visiting the Tucson area, and I was part of the seminary choir that year, and we had some hours to kill. We were up in northern Arizona. So we figured, what better way of killing a couple of hours than by going to the Grand Canyon? So we went to the canyon. And if you've been there, you know what I'm talking about. Is you're making your way to the overlook, and you see the fence on the edge. You think, all right, I'm going to see a big hole in the ground. But as you get closer to that fence, you realize just how grand that canyon is. I went to the edge and I leaned over the fence to see just how deep it went. And it wasn't until then that I saw how wide, how deep, how long that canyon was. And even then, I found it difficult to believe. As big as the USS Kitty Hawk may be, as big as the Grand Canyon may be, there was something even more unbelievable happening in Capernaum in the times of Mark chapter 1. If you would have been there, you would have seen Jesus of Nazareth, Jesus Christ, speaking a new teaching and showing the authority that he has. And it's this morning we spend a few precious moments with these precious verses from God's word. We'll see what happened in that synagogue. The new teaching with the authority of God with it. Every Saturday, the Jewish believers would come together into the synagogue, into their house of worship, to read and reflect on God's word for that day. It was customary to have traveling rabbis, traveling teachers, who would come, read, explain, and apply that section of Scripture. On this particular Sabbath day, this is what Jesus is doing. He is in the synagogue in Capernaum, acting as a traveling rabbi, showing them what God's word had to say. Whatever it was, we don't know the specific passages. And as Mark tells us, Jesus went into the synagogue and began to teach. The people were amazed at his teaching because he taught them as one who had authority, not as the teachers of the law. Whereas the teachers of the law would normally talk about God's word by quoting past theologians and then applying a list of legalistic regulations, Jesus simply taught the word. He didn't need to refer to Rabbi so-and-so to see what it meant, because it's God's word. And Jesus is God. He knows what his word is going to say, so he can speak with authority about what it says. But more than that, God's word does not depend on human wisdom for it to be true. It is the truth, no matter what our human minds may think otherwise. So as Jesus taught that day in the synagogue, he didn't need to quote the past theologians, the past rabbis. He could say, this is what the truth is. This is what God's word says. But there was more to Jesus' new teaching than his new, or should I say his correct source of authority. It was the message, the content that was new as well. A content that is only found in Holy Scripture that shows us who Jesus' true identity is. It was told by none other than a man who was possessed. Mark tells us that after the crowds were wowed and they showed just how amazed they were by Jesus' teaching, this happened. The man in the synagogue who was demon-possessed, he said, "What do you want with us, Jesus of Nazareth? Why have you come? Have you come to destroy us? I know who you are, the Holy One of God." We'll get to that demon-possessed man and what happened to him in just a little bit. Let's focus on what he calls Jesus, the Holy One of God. This was the teaching that those teachers of the law would leave in the shadows. This is the teaching that is found only in God's word for showing us who Jesus truly is. This is the teaching around which all of Scripture rotates and hinges on. I don't know whether those synagogue worshipers knew it or not, but before them stood the Holy One of God. Holy. As Luther defines in his catechism, holiness has two parts to it. It is, first of all, being pure from sin. And second, set apart for God. And when we look at Jesus, we see how truly he lives up to that definition of holiness as the Holy One of God. From the day God became man in Bethlehem to Jesus' death on the cross, he never had any sins of his own, pure from anything that he had done wrong, for he had done nothing wrong. Jesus, who had been set aside from the beginning of time to be God's own, to fulfill his divine plan, to be the promised prophet from Deuteronomy chapter 18. To be the greater Moses over the house of God, over the family of believers, as shown to us in Hebrews chapter 3. The one set apart to complete the plan for salvation. How true it is in every sense of the word that Jesus is the Holy One, just as and only told in the Bible. But how do you identify Jesus? So often our world says that Jesus is something less than the Savior of the world, something less than the Holy One of God. They consider him like the crowds did in Capernaum, at least for that day, that Jesus is a master teacher. He's a great speaker. Now I'll grant, Jesus was very successful in making the unknown known to all different kinds of people. But he's more than a teacher or a speaker. He's the Holy One of God, the Savior. The only one who's pure from sin by his own doing. As we look at this teaching, how there is only the one Holy One, we see who we are. You and I are not pure. You and I have tainted our souls with sins in one way or another. When when we read this new teaching about the Holy One of God, we see what it is that you and I deserve. That we shouldn't go to heaven. Because it is only those who are considered holy, those who are called holy, can enter heaven to be with the Holy One of God. And so, faced with our own state of who we are, how much we want to make Jesus something less, so that we may have a chance to make it on our own. But not only do we see who the Holy One is, what Christ's true identity is in Scripture, but it's also here. We see how Christ's holiness is given to mankind. It comes through faith in Him, in trust in what He has done for us. That when He died on that cross, even though He Himself was pure from sins of any that He had done, our sins were placed on Him. And He received the punishment that we deserve. That on Easter morning, that empty tomb was not because His body was stolen out of us somehow, but He really rose. He has power over life and death and all things. For He alone is the Holy One of God. Again, I ask you, how do you identify Jesus? What do you call Him? Do you say He's the Holy One of God? Do you say that He is your Savior from sin? If your answer is yes, then be assured that Christ's holiness is yours now. You are purified of all your sins by the blood that Jesus shed on that cross to wash them away in His love for us. You and I have been set apart from this unbelieving world as God's beloved children. To know what the Word is all about, to know who Christ truly is, to know that where we are going is heaven. Yes, it is only those who are considered holy can enter heaven. Well, guess what? Through Christ we have His holiness. When we pass away, we will be with the Holy One for all time. What greater joy is there than that? This is the new teaching that Jesus taught in a synagogue in Capernaum. With the authority it has from God, because it is found in God's Word. And every word that we see in the Bible, every word we read in God's Word is truly the Word of God. It has the authority of God. And if you wonder if that could really be true, well, we're going to get back to that demon-possessed man now. We're going to see what happened to him and the authority that God's Word has over all things. After the demon-possessed man told the crowds who Jesus truly is, the Holy One of God, this is what Jesus says. He commands the impure spirit, saying, "Be quiet. Come out of him." And instantly, without any rituals or arcane incantations, the impure spirit shook the man violently and came out of him with a shriek. What a sight that must have been. Today, you and I write off many of the occult activities as hoaxes, as many of them probably are. But we have here an account that no one can disagree with. Just as there really was a demon-possessed man, so there really was a liberation when Jesus freed him from that spirit with the simple command of His Word. That is the authority of God's Word. That is the authority that we need to come back to when our minds play tricks with ourselves, have us doubt what He reads, what He tells us, or our consciences make us feel guilty. There is nothing more powerful than our Lord and His Word. Not even a fallen angel who can make a man speak and shake against his will. But the Lord says in His Word will happen no matter what. Even a new teaching, like Christ's holiness, being given to sinners. That is the truth that we can trust because its authority comes from on high. It does not depend on human wisdom for it to be true. If anything, depending on human wisdom will just lead us away from God's word. After all, it doesn't make sense. Why would God send His holy Son to die on that cross for us unholy sinners? It doesn't make sense. How could a person's death 2,000 years ago still have blessings today? When those thoughts come your way, push them aside and come to the word of your Lord. See what He says to you with the authority that it is true. When the world tries to tell you that Jesus is something less than the Savior, He's just a teacher or a preacher or something else, don't be fooled by their supposed intelligence. Even the demons know who Jesus truly is, the Holy One of God, the Messiah, the Savior. And you fall back into temptation. You're reminded of the unholy person that you and I are by nature. Come back to this new teaching and rest on its authority. It tells you that your Savior has made you holy through faith in Him. And if you believe that, it is true for you. This was the new teaching with authority that Jesus taught in Capernaum. And as we see in the closing sentence of our text for this morning, what an effect it had on the city of Capernaum and the area around. I don't know if they believed what they saw that day, but they certainly told everyone what they had seen, that there was a new rabbi in town preaching a wonderful message of sins forgiven, backed up the authority of casting out a demon. It's this message of the Holy One we see our Savior for who He truly is, pure from sin, set apart for God for our salvation. It's in this teaching that we see that holiness is given to us so that we are purified from our sins and set apart for God as His children, bound for heaven. We know it to be true because His authority comes from on high, the authority that can cast out demons with just a single word. May we always take this new teaching to heart and rest on God's authority behind it so that you and I may be found holy all the time. Amen.